Welcome to the Penis Project podcast, connecting men through science, stories, solutions, but most of all, through support. This podcast was founded by myself and Dr. Joe Milios, a physiotherapist. To find out more about us, check out our website, thepenisproject.org. I'm Melissa Hadley-Barrett, sexologist and nurse practitioner, specialising in men's intimate health. Join me as I break down the barriers surrounding men's health and have candid conversations about everything you've always wanted to know, but were too embarrassed to ask. This podcast is dedicated to stories from men who have bravely recognised the importance of sharing their experiences, breaking down stigmas, and having no filter chats about sexual health, cancer treatment and recovery, relationships, and everything else in between. If you know someone who you think would benefit from this information, please share so we can help more people. We would also love it if you'd follow the podcast and give us a review. Welcome to the Penis Project podcast. Today, I'm very excited because we have none other than Victoria Cullen, who is the founder of A Touchy Subject. Now, I know that many of my listeners have already followed Victoria, and probably many of them actually come from Victoria's site originally. So I'm so excited. It's been 3 years and we've chatted a lot, but I've never had you on the podcast. So welcome.
Thank you so much, Melissa. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
So what, for those people who don't know all about you, tell us what you do and how you started out in this area. Because I don't know about you, but it's the most common question I get is, how did I end up doing this?
I get that too. People say, it's pretty niche what you're doing. How did you get there? It is a bit Alice down the rabbit hole. So, well, to begin, I run A Touchy Subject. So it's an educational companion for men who've gone through prostate cancer treatment and are on that sexual recovery path. So I see it as an online resource that men can tap into to really get into more than anything, the nuances and all that. It's really that devil's in the detail, I've noticed, for so many of the interventions they're going to try. So something I really specialize in is more on the product side. So helping them, if they're getting a new vacuum erection device, they've spent hundreds of dollars on it, making sure they're really getting the best outcomes from using that. And not just, you know, oh, I can make an erection, but okay, well, how can you actually use a pumped erection in sex? How can you introduce it to your partner? So trying to bring in that mix of what we're learning from the clinical literature around sexual recovery, but also so much that lived experience. I'm collecting so many stories from men and also interviewing experts such as yourself. So I see myself at the moment as a bit of a sort of a curator, trying to just get all the really the best ideas that are out there to help men who are on this path and are having to deal with all of these new gadgets for the first time, have so many questions that I know are plaguing them in the background around timeframes and what's normal and what to expect and all of that. So it's all at atouchysubject.com. People start there. I have a free rehabilitation program that's specifically for men who are looking to optimize their erectile recovery post prostate cancer treatment. And that gives them overall principles. It's just a 6-day course that really is going for that high level principles of, you know, here are your different options. And then right at the end, what I recommend is they then should get nicely passed on to you because you have then the really good, juicy, in-depth guide to penile rehabilitation through your program. And then also those tailored consultations with yourself after they've got that background.
Yeah, and they can think of your program is great. I've done it myself, actually. I feel like it's such a good broad brush understanding, and then what I've got is really more like a roadmap of this is what you do each day sort of thing, isn't it? Like,
yes, absolutely. I think of it as sort of, I can give you the theory, but then that technician, the practicals, that's where your course can come in. And I love that you even address the lifestyle elements, so many areas. That's the thing. I think it's such a can of worms that men and their partners find themselves in. And it seems like this nebulous, well, you know, if we start here, okay, what do we then do if this doesn't work? And oh goodness, and that's the devil in the detail is what I often keep coming back to. And like, there's a million questions, and that's what I hope the Touchy Subject can help provide is some calm, some ease, and also some hope, especially when they hear stories from other men in my audience, what they've done, how they've, you know, figured out their erection recipe, how they've like MacGyvered their way, you know, into making all the products they've bought work really well for them, how they've adapted their sex life, and yeah, having a really good time.
Oh, I do want to ask you about how your model's changed recently. It would be great. But first up, I just wanted to ask you a question. So I think the pumps are brilliant for rehab, but there's some resources that you have, I think, that are fantastic for like, how do you include a pump, because they're not the sexiest looking device, in your like actual sexual, you know, interaction with a partner?
And you've got some great ideas around that. So, you know, could you just give us like a little brief, you know, a brief understanding of that, like how you think you overcome this, having this bit of plastic involved?
Yes, absolutely. First, it's really acknowledging that it is weird. You know, a lot of men say that to me, I think I don't want to do it because I think it's going to be too weird and it's going to break the spontaneity, and actually embracing that, going, yes, it probably is. You know, this is something you're bringing in that's new and you don't necessarily know, well, how are we going to make this work? But so starting off that mindset of, okay, let's actually have fun. Because like with anything, you know, they're called sex toys. I mean, when we're talking a vacuum erection device, it's usually when we often will talk more about that medical grade FDA approved one. So it's got that rehabilitation and, you know, really bang for buck factor. But ultimately, if you're bringing something into the bedroom, think of it, it is a toy. It is something that's fun. So that when you play with a new toy or a new game for the first time, it is having that open-minded sense of curiosity and actually expecting like this might be kind of hilarious. The best scenarios I hear from men when they email in and just say, do you know what, I tried using the Vacurect, for example, the first time with my partner, and it was, once you have the best success long term, at first say it was hilarious, you know, trying to get this thing to work together. And you know, then the kind of erection that often gets made, especially earlier on when there's not a lot of spontaneous function in the mix, will usually be more of that sort of an engorged floppy sausage kind of effect. So again, even once that's created, it's thinking through, okay, well, look, we can still have penetration with that, but it's going to probably look a lot different. And it's, so it's first having that mindset of having really open communication as well, saying, right, this is different, but coming back to the foundations of, we still want to connect, we still want to have pleasure. And if you are missing that intimate connection from intercourse, thinking through, well, okay, let's adjust some bits and pieces. So there's that sort of mindset, I think, on top is absolutely crucial. And then underneath, there are all the practicals. And it's so funny, actually, this week, I had an idea. I want to pass this by you and see what you think of this. I'm thinking, how cool would it be to have something like an ebook called the Pumper Sutra that actually gives people the practicals of how you can adapt your sex, what you're doing with your partner, your sex life, to include this type of pump direction we get. So, because, you know, for example, you might, because you have a softer penis, actually guiding in with a lot of, and investing in a really good lubricant, I find that can be an absolute game changer. So not just thinking of the pump as just a standalone, I'm going to get the erection I want just from this. That's often I see men actually feel a bit disappointed with the results, but instead thinking through, okay, well, what happens if we then incorporate a really good lubricant, maybe even there's an amazing product called On for Men. It's an arousal oil that can just add a little bit more of a sensation. And there's one for women too called On for Her. So if your partner's female, it's something you could, again, experiment together. I think that's the thing. We go to the practicals, but you always come back to the mindset of just deciding it is going to be different. There's going to be a lot more intentionality because you're going to have to stop. And, you know, even just stopping to reapply lubricant, it does force a pause. But deciding, well, okay, in that pause, your partner doesn't have to just sit there waiting for something to happen. You could invest in some vibrators together. You know, she or he could be playing with themselves in the meantime, putting on a bit of a show. You know, there's so many, I think, little changes that can be made at that practical, actually what you're doing level. So maybe end up being something like a Pumper Sutra kind of toolbox that you have together.
I love that. I think it's great. And do you know what? I was talking to a couple yesterday and it made me think about this. I was driving home, as I told you earlier, from a country clinic this morning, and I was thinking about this couple. And in their sex life, it's always been him who's the instigator, but he's lost confidence because he's post-prostatectomy and they're using a pump, and he feels awkward initiating it because it's not like it used to be. They always had this script that they followed and it worked perfectly for them for a very long time, and suddenly that script's not there anymore. And now he feels a bit let down by her because she's not initiating it, but she's not initiating it because she never has. And so it's this whole role reversal. And then she was like, you know, they were great. They were really honest. And she said, you know, I actually don't really know what to do. You know, in the past, I just touched it, got naked, and it went up and it was all fine. And now what do I do in those pauses? And that made me think we almost need this Pumper Sutra is a great idea. You know, like in that, some sort of instruction manual about, if you're a woman who's used to every time you touch your partner's penis, it just does its thing and you end up having penetrative sex, what do you actually do with a softer penis? And What can you do to encourage that, and what actually feels good? Because nobody knows. We're all kind of stabbing around in the dark a bit, aren't we?
I think that comes down to all of us across the board are lacking sex education in general. I think there's also this strong societal sort of unspoken programming that it's also that men are supposed to initiate, and they're just also supposed to just sort of know how it all works and what to do. And in a way, that again, we come back to mindset. Maybe that's can be this like quite incredible opportunity you have when things start to not work at all as usual. You actually have to throw the script out and you have to communicate. Like, how amazing for that couple to open up about that and to speak that truth and to be vulnerable. We know that vulnerability fosters connection. So to realize, like, yeah, it makes you realize you're in the same boat. Nobody knows exactly what to do. You are making things up again. But again, having some guidance on, well, especially I've got some amazing stories from men who donated to A Touchy Subject, just giving ideas. Well, here's how we did it. And I think that's where your podcast is incredible as well. I think there's such power to hearing other people's stories, saying, you know, yeah, it changed and it was different. But, you know, then we tried ABC. And that ended up working.
And that worked for us. And it was like, and I told this couple yesterday about another couple that I'd seen a couple of months ago now, who told me they went to a tantric massage class together. And it sounded lovely, actually, because I know, you know, it sometimes sounds a bit woo-woo, doesn't it? You know, tantric sex. But this was lovely. It's like they went, they said they were really awkward going. There was a few other couples there. The woman sat down, they had morning tea, and they were all fully clothed. She talked about, you know, tantra and tantric massage, and then they went in their own cubicle, they were fully clothed, and then she talked about different ways of touching your partner, and you practiced, and she walked around and went into each cubicle. And they were like, we're really nervous going, but we just thought it might be a way of, like, reconnecting, because they were, and they said, we had the best time. Like, we laughed, we thought it was fun, we met a few other couples that were the same as us that were all feeling a bit awkward about it as well. And then we went home and we tried it together naked, you know. And they said it was really good. It was like they learnt a whole different way of interacting with each other than they did before. And she just Googled it. So, you know, I have personally have never done a tantric class myself. So I my poor husband, I'm going to drag him along to one on a weekend to check it out, because it sounds, you know, I don't want to recommend things that I haven't tried myself, but it actually sounded really lovely. Like, they had a really fun time doing it. You know, it's like one of the best ways to connect with your partner is do something you haven't done before. I mean, normally I'm suggesting rock climbing or 10-pin bowling or something, but I thought this, you know, and what she said was, is she was really struggling. The reason she found this program was because she was really struggling with a way to, like, touch her husband now, because he wasn't responsive like he used to be. And she thought, well, how can I figure out new ways of doing it? And that was what she found. And I just thought, sometimes out of adversity, you know, good things come. So maybe things not working means you do mix the script up. And if you can have a laugh about it and not expect it to be the same as always, it can be good.
That's such a good story. I love that. the midpoint, yeah, you usually recommend rock climbing, but tantra is more like sexual bouldering. It kind of is, because it has been given a bit of a toolkit, but then a lot of it is just trying things out, seeing what works for you. And that's the thing, just leaving to the side things that don't work, but I think realizing, oh, there are actually quite a few ways. I love that we're coming back to this. It's actually sometimes just the getting in, because actually once you're in, once you've initiated and something's begun, there is that nice little sexual energy that begins. I think that's what so many men who reach out to me are really missing. It's that fission, that sexual connection, but it's getting it going. I'm wondering, have you seen Testaverse's 2-minute game? Have you come across that one?
No, I haven't, but I'd like to know about that.
That's a cool one. I'll make sure that their YouTube video of all about it is linked in the description box below this. Yeah, because they describe it in detail. So, yeah, Testaverse, awesome sexual clinician. And a lot of men listening may have even done one of their courses around soft penis pleasure and vulva pleasure. And again, so two ways that you can actually sit with a partner and be given essentially, look, here's a way to come back to absolute basics where you don't need an erection in the room whatsoever, but you're going to learn to touch a soft penis in a way that doesn't actually just even like feel good, but actually hopefully can increase sensation and orgasm when practiced over time. So I think that's really cool. But one of their most basic exercises that I love recommending going back to is just simply having a stopwatch, or just having your stopwatch on your phone, and just with your partner, just saying, right, let's play a game. You know, I'm going to put on for 2 minutes, and for 2 minutes, I'll ask you to just do one thing. And obviously they can say, no, thank you. And you can choose something else. They don't want to. It can be anything at all. And it could just start off with, do you know what? I've got sore shoulders today. Could you just give me a soft massage for 2 minutes? And that's it. When the timer goes off, you then switch. And so then he, you know, and I've often said, why not incorporate when you're using the pump for the first time, or any new toy for the first time, use it within this format. Because then as well, you have actually a bit of a time limit. If you're trying something and it's not quite actually doing it, a time is going to go off so you can stop and reflect. Because it could be, you know, okay, I would love you to stroke my thighs while I pump for 2 minutes. And we'll just see. Again, it's that sort of being able to experiment with little ideas. And what is, again, a way in. Because, you know, once that begins, you can get a bit of a snowball effect. And, yeah, I've heard of all kinds of...
That's such a good idea. I'm going to use that. Mm. We'll definitely put that link in the bottom. Because I think you're right. It's just the awkwardness of starting, because it before it started easier, you know, than it does now. And it's a bit awkward. Another idea I came across, I heard it on a podcast of an American sexologist, and I can't remember who now, but she said that she gets couples to write down their fantasies and their wishes and put it in a box. And then, you know, like there might be something that you've always fantasized about, or you wished your partner did something, but you've never really talked about it, even if you've been together 20 years. And then once a week or whatever, when you schedule time for intimacy, you might pull something out of the box and then read it and go, you could both go, yeah, we'll try that. Or one person might go, no, that's something I'm never going to try. So you throw it away and you get a new thing out. But it's kind of a less confronting way of approaching things that you might have always thought you'd like to try or fantasized about that you haven't actually told your partner. And I thought it's a bit of a fun thing to do, isn't it? Like, and also you probably find things out about your partner that you didn't know.
Absolutely. And that's it. The fact we even say the word script often in terms of sexuality, you know, are people following the same script? It does show like, oh, actually, yeah, we can. I think it's so, I mean, it's just classic behavior change, but something works. It becomes a habit. You do it over and over again. So it applies with our sex lives as well. But actually, that's the thing. When you have to totally throw the script out, it is this opportunity of cultivating eroticism in so many other ways that, you know, even the hope is you actually find out new things that you might never have found out because you have been doing things the same way for so long. And everyone's bodies, yeah, change over time. And you know, yep. Eroticism is a song that lives in the, it's all in the brain. So I think that's a fun thing to come back to.
I often hear from women that they'll say, you know, actually this whole period of like erections not working has kind of been really good for them in their sex life because they have had to experiment with new things and their lovemaking has been so much less penis centric. You know, do you hear that as well?
Absolutely. I think as well, something that's, I think so helpful. I actually wish it was mentioned just in the clinical literature a lot more. It's just the word pleasure, because ultimately, you know, to even begin the erection process, you've got to make the phone call first. And the phone call is going to get made to downstairs when you do start feeling pleasure and arousal. So it all works into the same formula. That's the thing. I think once I have that interwoven into all of my resources in the course. So I have heard men say, okay, actually, when that really clicked for me, that of course, you know, oh, it's not just taking a Viagra tablet sitting there, or like I had one guy saying, you know, I took a Viagra and I went and did the gardening and nothing happened. I thought, well, unless those flowers are looking particularly sexy that day, nothing's going to happen because you've got to begin it. So I think actually, I think it can help bring the emphasis back onto that, the very beginnings of sexual function, which is pleasure, arousal, yeah, beginning that spark. So yeah, I hear that too. And I think that's another reason it sort of comes into play. And yeah, I love focusing on those stories where, you know, sexual recovery doesn't just have to be all the sexual function came back.
No.
Sexual recovery is actually so much broader. It's actually much more the question of, you know, do you enjoy your sex life? Are you sexually satisfied and fulfilled? That maybe in the end doesn't necessarily have, if anything, to do with the erection at all. Often, you know, will, because it's very important. Of course, yeah, having an erection for somebody who hasn't suddenly got one. But actually, it comes, yeah, like you said, it comes down to sexual fulfillment. There's more in the picture. So actually using as that opportunity of, okay, let's come back to the basics. let's almost like come back to a margarita pizza. Let's like remember what it's like to just feel really, really good together. Pleasure, you know, orgasm, even orgasm later on, just take everything off the table and then slowly bring everything back in. I think it's a great approach.
You remember what it was like when you're a teenager and you're fooling around on the couch, you know, you often was never about penetration, but it was still really enjoyable. And I think we forget that when we move past it and get older.
Yes. I mean, the couples who reach out to me who are having a great time, they'll usually come up to an analogy like that. I've had couples say, oh, it feels like, you know, when we went on our first time, when we went on our honeymoon, mm-hmm. It's actually, you know, back to the honeymoon days. And we're like really, you know, putting a lot of, also actually just putting emphasis on, okay, how do we want to have sex? And yeah, or even back in the days of, yeah, we're sort of fumbling around like teenagers again, but actually there's something kind of fun to that.
Yeah, like learning new things together is always a really good way to connect emotionally as well as physically, whatever it is that you're learning together. You know, like, I don't know, one of the other things I suggest is go and do a dance class together. You know, if you're both hopeless at it, at least you're going to have a giggle and you're both vulnerable at the same time.
Yes.
So tell me, how has touchy subject changed recently? So you've got a new sort of method of getting the information out there.
I'm playing around a bit. So right now, I've got 150 men who are all in a private, I made a video library essentially of all of the absolute best of resources that are particularly to do with pumps. Because I realized over the years, I'd put so many videos on YouTube and written all kinds of articles and everything, but it was still a bit dispersed. And especially I was finding that there are still so many men who reach out to me who say, look, I've bought the pump. I'm very excited about it. And it's great for rehab, but I'm just still struggling. I feel, you know, that a lot of them were saying they basically, you know, feel like I've got more like a 5 out of 10 erection when the cylinder comes off, no matter what kind of pump they were using. And, you know, I've just accumulated that much pump knowledge at this point. I thought, look, I really want to just get this all together in a very comprehensive, real step-by-step, you know, so somebody doesn't have to spend hours trawling the internet looking for ideas and all the information. So I think it takes them through step by step. And also I used to have a collection of live demonstration videos that were on YouTube. And look, many, you know, God bless YouTube, it did allow these videos up there sometime. They're not pornographic. It's nudity. Mm-hmm. It's just for educational purposes. But look, it's been an ongoing battle to keep them up there. And in January, YouTube did take 2 really good ones off and they haven't reinstated them. So I also thought, right, these have got to go somewhere. So what I've done is put together a video library, which is sort of a beta test to see, okay, does this work? You know, what do men find the most useful aspects of this? You know, what maybe needs to be added to this, all of that. So I've got 150 men giving me feedback on that right now. And what's awesome is what's coming out of that are men saying that they just love that they've got a private place where they can all be together. They feel a part of something together. So everyone who's commenting under all the different videos, that's actually where I'm finding the gold's coming, because they're saying, oh yeah, I followed this demonstration. That's helped a lot because I was pumping too fast, or, you know, I hadn't realized I was supposed to hold the cylinder away from my body. And now that's been a game changer. But then they'll put, however, what I've also noticed is, you know, if I then put this particular ring on top of the Vacurec ring afterwards, I get a 10 out of 10 erection. And if I take, you know, a bit of stylus before, you know, they're exchanging all these ideas together, which I think that's what clinical literature misses. It's this lived experience nuance that can be the difference between somebody, you know, being able to have penetrative sex maybe the first time in years versus still struggling and pouring money into yet another ED intervention that just doesn't work. So that's so exciting to me.
That's really gold, because I think 2 things about that. One, I think nothing beats the lived experience, which is precisely why I love interviewing, because I have learned more, to be honest, off my patients and the people I've interviewed in the last few years than I have from anything else that I've done, any like formal education, way more. But the other thing that I think is so great about that is providing a safe place, because what I have found is that, like, on my YouTube channel, it's difficult, and also on my Instagram and thing, people often don't want to follow someone who is talking about erectile dysfunction or these things, because if other people see you're following them, then, oh, you must have a problem. So having like a safe place like you've created is so great, because you're more likely to make a comment and ask for help when you know that everyone else in that environment or in that community is in the same situation. Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's, it's totally private. people can change. They can change their name to James Bond if they want to. They can be whoever they want to be in this forum. No one, you know, needs to know who you are. But then, and you know as well, the only people who can see you comment are other men who are in exactly the same situation. So I'm really excited about that. That's a bit of an evolving process to see where that comes to. And then in the meantime, I do want to make sure people can get their hands on the demonstration videos. Because just being able to check your technique when you've got the Vacurect in particular for the first time, yeah, again, like that can be the difference between, you know, a few hundred dollars. It's making sure you really are able to use, you know, this device and successfully. So right now that's another, just a shorter course I'm putting together that is around, and again, I'm weaving in all the things that I'm learning from what I'm calling sort of the pump hub at the moment. I keep calling it the pub for sure. I wonder if that's going to go somewhere as well. Another man there said maybe even the members bar, and I thought, oh, finally the word.
That's great.
You know, as soon as there's a pun, we've got to make it.
So. I love the members bar. That's great.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, weaving in what we're learning there into this shorter course as well, which is going to be more ideal for somebody who's bought, especially the Vacurect for the first time, and is just has tried it maybe two or three times and just isn't quite sure they're doing it correctly or isn't getting the exact direction they want, especially because most people buy it because they are hoping they get an erection that they can use for intercourse. So it's a course that's very specifically designed to help people go zero to hero.
I've got one of how to use it for rehab, but I always send them to your resources for how to use it for intercourse because they're great. I mean, your resources for that are so excellent. And yeah, I just think, I don't want to reinvent the wheel when you're doing it so well. So if someone does wants to do that, to participate in that, do they just go to your YouTube channel at the moment?
It'd be on the website. So that short course is getting launched, honestly, any day now, possibly right. Tomorrow, which is very exciting. When this is live, it probably will be up there. So if you go to atouchysubject.com, you should see it on the homepage or underneath one of the resources tab in the menu. It'll definitely be under there.
Great. And then if people want to be involved in the members hub, I've got to call it that now. I love that.
Yes.
And is that open to the public yet, or you're still in your testing phase with that?
Still in the testing phase with that. And then, yeah, that's yeah, an evolving. So I was so surprised. I did think, okay, it's probably going to be more about making sure the information in the videos is exactly what they need. So I was thinking maybe I'll, you know, film some more depending on what questions come up. But instead, it does seem it's now actually moving towards, actually, I just want to make sure all the best functionality is there to foster that connection, that community, and, yeah, help them be able to talk around all the topics that, you know, just most important to them. So when that is ready, it, yeah, will be launched. So I'll make sure that there's a wait list that people can join on the website if they're interested in that.
Oh, that sounds great. That's so exciting. So the best, really, the place for people to go and follow what's coming new and what you've got up at the moment is the Touchy Subject website, which will definitely be in the show notes.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And joining the newsletter, and the way to do that is to do the free rehab course. So you'll get those 6 days of the overarching principles. And then after that, you'll receive all the updates and all the free resources that we continue to make down the line.
Yeah. So exciting. And so what's next? This sounds like this is going to take you probably for the rest of the year, perfecting this new member hub.
I think so, because, you know, I'm so excited about, yeah, the member hub and seeing where that goes. I'd love, fostering that community in there. The number of men actually have said it's just, there's such a sense of relief that comes from knowing you're not alone in something, which I can completely understand. I think we've all experienced something in our lives that's made us go, God, I don't know whether what I'm experiencing in this is even normal because I cannot think of another person to talk to who's going through this. So I think any ways that we can help create that connection, I think that alone can have such a positive ripple effect in somebody's life. So
I agree, because I think that it's really difficult to talk to someone face-to-face, particularly for men. Us women are much more likely to talk about our bodily functions to our mates than men are. And so in a place like that, you know, that it's, they can't see you, as you say, you can make up a false name. And, you know, in that case, you can engage openly with somebody without fear of like retribution or someone, you know, knowing who you are down the track. And you can get genuine help from you for your problems. And who better to get it from than people who are going through the same situation as you?
Exactly. Yes. I think there's something so expansive as well when we hear somebody who's maybe a few months to a few years down the line too, because we can go, oh, if they can do it and I relate to them, then I can do it too. I think it changes something, like changes the switch in the brain.
Yeah. I think also, I was just actually, before I got online with you today, I was answering an email to a gentleman who I haven't actually seen for about a year. And he was a little bit disgruntled with his process and his recovery. Like, he's had a rough time and he was trying to use injections and they've lasted too long or haven't worked at all. But it's tricky because I think the people that perfect using a pump or using injections or whatever have actually, you know, everyone has difficulty at the beginning, and it's whether or not you've kind of got the stickability to push through that to get to the other side. But if you expect you're only going to, you know, you're going to pay $250 for a pump and use it two or three times, and if you don't get a great result, give up, you're not going to get there. You know, to be a master of something, you kind of have to go, okay, it's not going to work straight away, and you have to keep going back. And I think when it comes to sexual function, it's easy just to go, oh, it's stuffed, and just give up instead of pushing through. So having so many resources for people to try can make such a difference. And just understanding that it's not going to happen the first time. The pump's not going to be perfect the first time, you know, and injections aren't going to be perfect the first time. And the first time you try and be intimate with your partner and it's totally different to what it was before, it's probably going to be awkward and a little bit weird and a bit hope that you'll just have a giggle about it and try again, not then give up.
Absolutely. Such a good point. It's, I think, setting correct expectations up front. I don't know about you, but I still have men who will email me and say, oh, you know, my urologist, I'm sure they're always very well-meaning, but the thing, if they just accidentally say something like, oh, you're young, so you'll bounce right back, something like that, it can put this idea in that, you know, so that's, you know, so many who are 6 months down the line go, nothing's happening yet, so I'm freaking out, I'm so anxious, does this mean this is my outcome now because my urologist said it would be back by now and all of that. I think there's, yeah, it's so important to set expectations, not just on those timeframes, but like you said, expectations on things actually, yeah, are pretty clunky at first when you're trying to get used to a new erection tool. I don't know if you find this as well, but I notice more and more the men I'm finding who have the best success down the line are the ones who really figure out their erection recipe. And it usually, honestly, is a few things together. So, yeah, like I'll have men who say, you know, I finally figured it out. You know, I was getting a 5 out of 10 erection just for the pump. But then, you know, I saw an injection specialist and they taught me how to incorporate, you know, use the pump before and then use the injection. Oh my gosh, that together means now it's like a 9 out of 10. I put this particular cock ring on top and now it's 10 out of 10. You know,
Saying to guys, they'll go, oh, I'm struggling because, you know, my penis is a bit small. Where do I find the spot to inject? And I'll go, oh, just use the Vacurec first because it'll make the target bigger. And they'll go, oh, next time I'll see them, they'll be like, that was so great because I had so much more shaft when I took the pump off to use it. And also, you know, I know I talked to you recently about the new Firmtech Max Pro ring. And, you know, some guys are like, I really don't like using the really small, like, ring on the pump. But what I found is I can pump it up and use a medium-sized ring. When I take the pump off, I can put that lasso on as well and I get a great result, you know. So it is often about layering things on. It's a bit like putting on your face cream if you're like getting older and you've got to put the body serum and then the cream and then the sunburn cream, and it takes a good 10 minutes. It's a bit like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're not looking at a one-step process. It probably is about a five-step, but I mean, the men I talk to find it so rewarding when they do, you know, figure it out and can notice over time progress often actually can look like you can take a step out, which is great.
Yeah, exactly. To what you said before about having false expectations, I often will see guys and their partners who will say to me, I don't understand why nothing's happening. The surgeon told me I had nerve-sparing surgery. And I'll say, because, yes, you might have had nerve-sparing surgery, but they go to sleep for a while. They've all been moved around and they've been upset. Like when you sit on your foot for too long, it goes numb. It doesn't mean because nothing's happening straight away, but I think they imagine it like a switch, you know, they'll just turn it back on and it's going to work straight away. And I know that's very well-meaning of the urologist telling them, oh, it was a great outcome, I've saved your nerves. But unfortunately, in their mind, it's like, oh, my nerves are fine, I'm the same as I was yesterday. But yeah, you're still not. It just means that hopefully you can get back to that. You're just not there yet.
Absolutely. And then I just can empathize so much. That would be so confronting if you have in your mind, well, what I'm expecting to happen is some one day, you know, maybe 6 months down the line, I just wake up and it's just back to completely 100% back to normal, rather than talking about that progress. And I find that, I don't know what, I'd love to hear actually what you find, but men tell me about their progress journey. It often is actually very non-linear. You know, men who say they just plateau for ages or something's actually a bit of a decrease, and sort of, it just, if they matched it on a graph, it probably would be a really bit of a valley of hills. Yeah, do you find that as well?
Exactly the same thing. And I usually find most of the time, and some people get better quicker, but most of the time people don't notice much erectile function at all for the first 10 to 12 months. And then they'll have a slight increase and they're excited, but then it plateaus for a while and then there's a little bit more. And then, you know, they might have some really stressful time at work or in their family, and then it goes backwards a bit, and then, you know, it comes back again. And I think it's also, you probably, if you really thought about your sexual function for men and women before this, it probably was the same. It, you know, waxed and waned, but you weren't focused on it like you are after you've had surgery that affects it or radiation that affects it. You know, then you're so focused on it, so much more acutely aware of those ups and downs.
Yeah, it's a bit cruel that also when you really focus on something, that, you know, we know that stress is kryptonite to erections, so yeah. Also that intense hypervigilance towards it may in fact be keeping it, you know, keeping your full function from you. I think also so important. That's actually some direction I'd love to explore in more, is the impact that stress could be having on that erectile function journey, and more ways to help them kind of manage that aspect.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think the other thing as well is that often, and we all do it, you know, you go and see a health professional and they might talk to you for half an hour and you might actually only take away with you like 10% of what they said. And so you know, our brains are in such a way we're more likely to hook on to the bits that our brain perceived as positive. So
yeah,
I often think it's quite likely that the urologist has told that man that he had 100%, you know, near 100% nerve sparing, but it's going to take a while for them to do their thing again. But all they've heard is the first bit, because that's how our brains work. We don't take in everything.
Yeah. And that's actually why I really love the medium of videos online. I try to make, if you go to my YouTube channel, I try to make them, when I do my how-tos, like as short as possible, sort of 3 to 5 minutes. But I've heard this from men saying, you know, what's good is they can kind of watch it over and over again. And at different points of their journey, if they return even to the same video, they might hear something different in it each time. So I think it's just, it's nice to have it's like a complementary educational tool to sit side by side with consultations people are going to, so they can listen to those in the meantime, bring exactly the same information, but be able to sort of, yeah, just slowly take it in, integrate over time. So it's such a new landscape. There's so much to take in when it comes to, if it's suddenly erections don't work and you've never had to think about it before, of, well, how did that work in the first place? So it did just feel like an on and off switch. Just suddenly learn that there's all of these different interactions that, yeah, can change the game and can change function. It's a lot.
And even things like, you know, often guys will lose a lot of weight before they have treatment because, you know, they're told to by their urologist or radiologist, and then we'll go through, you know, the rehab time, things will all come back, and then they might, and everything's great and they've found a workaround and they're, you know, they don't need to see us anymore. And then a year or so down the track, you'll see them booked in and I'll think, I wonder what's going on there. And often they'll walk in and you can see that they've put on the, you know, the 10 kilos they lost before, or, you know, they've obviously got a little bit older, or they're on a new medication that has changed it. And they're like, oh, you know, I don't know what's happened. Everything was okay. And now I've like taken this big step back. And then you have to have that conversation. So what else has changed in your life? Oh, well, you know, my mother died, or I had, my wife's been sick, or, you know, I was started on a new blood pressure medication, or, you know, I've actually put on 10 kilos. You know, it's like, I'll be like, well, you just parked a car on your hose. You're not getting any blood flow down there now. You know, so often it's the things we don't think about, and then that cumulatively adds up and you go, oh, actually, that makes sense. You know, it's just about pointing that out, thinking what else in my life has changed that has made things not work as well as they were doing before.
So yeah, I think we have to look at it holistically, Also, can we just celebrate that metaphor, parked a car on your hose? I haven't heard that one before. And is that in relation to belly fat in particular?
Yeah, so I always tell my guys that, you know, if you've got a big belly, it's like if you go out there and you're trying to water the lawn and someone drives on your hose, you're only going to get a trickle and it's not going to come out. When you have this big belly, it's doing that. It's just parking the car on the hose. Like you just can't get as much blood flow into your penis. And so get rid of the car, back it off.
Yeah, wow, that's a good one. I mean, I come back to heart health is hard health, which I'm sure I got from you or Joe Millie or something.
I think it was Joe's thing. She always talks about hard health is heart health. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, mine's, I'm a little bit more basic. I'm just about cars and electric kettles, really, when I talk about erections.
Yeah, plumbing. That must be how it feels. Well, yeah, all the plumbing downstairs. It's like it's all just been kind of rewired. So, yeah.
But yeah, the things that I think are so great about the resources that you and Tess that I have seen of both of yours are that it really concentrates on that whole mindset way of getting your head around something different. And I think that's something that's really missing in, like, definitely in the academic literature. It's all about how to make it like it used to be instead of how to navigate what it is now.
Yes. Oh, no, I wonder if you'll remember this. There's a study, oh goodness, it would have come out a few years ago. Oh, it's a shame the authors and date have slipped my mind. They was it quantitative qualitative? They essentially asked men who did get their erectile function back after prostate surgery fully, you know, whether they were satisfied sexually, whether they were satisfied with their sex life. And like it was nowhere near 100%. If anything, it was quite a surprisingly low response. And I was sort of like, well, there you go. That's sort of a bit of a clue that, you know, of course you want your function back, but it's also thinking there's, you know, in the meantime, there is that why underneath, well, you know, what did the erection mean to you? And it might not even mean sexually, might mean, you know, manhood, it might mean, you know, I felt like I could provide, I felt like a man. But I think that's, you know, it does force you to have to think about that when function changes. Well, you know, why? What does this mean to you? And you know, if it is about sexual satisfaction, well, you know, think about working with that in the meantime, not just waiting and hoping that you'll get a really good sex life back when it does, when the function does come back.
I think also being really honest with yourself about how good your sex life really was before this diagnosis, because, you know, I see people, you know, pre-treatment usually, and often when we start talking about this, they'll say, oh, you know, what's your sex life now? And they'll both, if it's a couple there, they'll look at each other awkwardly and go, actually, it's been pretty crap. We haven't really paid much attention to it for the last 5 years. So, you know, often it's being realistic about what it was actually like before. Like the graph, it's always easy to look back and see that things were like shiny when actually it may not have been that great before. And I don't just mean function. I just mean the amount of time you were putting into like being intimate with your partner is often not that often. And then, but then losing it makes you realize how important it actually was to you both. So just that in itself can be a positive, that you're both like, actually, this is really important to us. Like we why have we let this go all the last few years?
Yeah. And I think that's what really drew me to working in this area. So I had men talk to me and say how important was it. I think, yeah, this, it is such an important part of life. Or you know, it's all individual how they feel. But if an individual says, yeah, this is so important to me, and it's a major side effect of this particular treatment, then it deserves to be put front and center. It deserves to be paid attention to, for us to look at it holistically, look at it from all different angles, be able to provide lots of different ways of support and education and, yeah, and ongoing resources. And because sex is supposed to be fun, it's thinking about like, how can we still bring that fun back in it and not become this chore that you're doing for rehab. Yeah, that's what I'm really keen on is going, yeah, look, you want to do your day, you want to do basically your daily push-ups, your daily penis push-ups, you know, with the pump, you know, however you're doing that. But making sure that, yeah, that can stay there, but that, you know, cultivating eroticism can be its own piece. And as we talked about, you can bring that mindset of, okay, we're throwing the script out, but it again becomes a bit choose your own adventure. And actually that could be really fun. It's like more of a deciding how to approach it than anything.
I had a fantastic conversation yesterday with a couple that I've only seen them once before, and he's had radiation and chemotherapy and all sorts of things, and they're in their early 80s, and he had a buried penis because he wasn't told about, you know, that he needed to do some things to keep his penis out in front. And I saw him a month ago and he got a pump and started using it. And then they came back and I saw them yesterday. And he was so excited because his penis is out a bit more and he can go to the toilet much easier and it's pink again and looks much healthier. And he was really excited about that. But we had a big chat and his wife said to me, you know, I don't think I've ever had an orgasm. And I was like, oh, it's really quite common, particularly in your generation. And she said, do you think it's too late? And I was like, no, I don't think so at all. And he was like, yeah, I didn't really know about this clitoris stuff until this has happened to me and I've had to like look into it. And so, you know, she was like really embarrassed and she's like, do you think I'm too old to try a sex toy? I'm like, of course not. But here we go, you know, and I got some out and I was showing it to them and like, these ones are easier. And she go, oh, I've got arthritis in my hand. And I'm like, you know, this is a good one because it doesn't really matter. Anyway, I went home with a new toy. And I'm really excited. And I just thought, like, how wonderful that you can still be experiencing new things and trying new things. And they've been together like 50 something years, this couple. And, yeah. You know, and he's like, I knew she never had an orgasm, but I didn't, I just thought maybe she couldn't, you know. And he goes, but I've been reading all this stuff. And now I'm thinking, it's not too late. We can still try this out. Like,
oh, I love that. Yes.
I was like, how exciting that, you know, like, and so he wasn't that really that bothered about the fact that he wasn't going to get an erection again, really, for penetrative sex. Just excited that it was out in front and they could see him again. He was doing his thing and they could both try new stuff.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Stories like that, it's, you know, that's what it's about. Got a sound of interest because I'm sure someone's listening that might have piqued their interest. What was the sex toy that you recommended her?
I recommended there's a My Ilo have this, which is a West Australian brand. You might have seen it on my website. And they have a, it's called an egg and it's really lovely. It's sort of just, I wish I had one with me, but I don't, just sort of sits in the palm of your hand and it's really easy. It has a press button. And so you don't need like, you know, grip. It just sort of sits there and then you hold it over the vulva and the whole thing vibrates, but it's also got a like smaller point that does as well. So yeah, it's really good. And it also is fantastic for knots in your neck. And it just looks like, you know, you put it in your suitcase and take it on holidays, or someone could find it in your bedroom and they'd just think it was a massage thing. And they're waterproof. Yeah, I really like their toys because they're beautiful pastel colors. They're easy to use. They're ergonomically friendly and they don't look like sex toys. So, you know, I think that makes it a lot more comfortable if you're new to that to buy something. But yeah, this one in particular is great for hands that aren't working very well.
It sounds amazing. I think that's something that also sometimes come up against. If somebody's thinking sex toys and what they're imagining is, you know, the big rabbits back from the Sex and the City days. Definitely. And they're thinking, oh my God, I'm going to be taking AA batteries out of my smoke alarm and my TV remote. The sex toy industry has come such a long way. It's actually just fascinating to go and see all the latest models that are coming out because pretty much the standard now is they're all USB rechargeable, waterproof, beautiful soft medical grade silicones. You don't need to worry about, you know, well, that smells a bit like petrol. You know, it's an unregulated industry, but there are so many incredible ethical companies now creating incredible devices, all and also really silent. I think some people still think, oh my God, it's going to sound like a jackhammer going off in the bedroom. And it's, yeah, they're actually extremely discreet is the word the sexual industry loves to use, but they genuinely are. Like you said, they're sort of the sort of things that, you know, you could just glance over a bedroom and not actually pick out that's clearly a sex toy.
Yeah, I think, like, I just think it's come such a long way. And I know I've probably mentioned this before on the podcast. I certainly have when I've done public speaking, but I really like the analogy that if a builder builds a house, he doesn't tell you about these wonderful drills and hammers and everything he built it with. He just talks about the finished product, which is the house. And I think sex toys are like that. They're just a tool that can enable you to have a bit more fun and get a great outcome, which is a nice, pleasurable time together or on your own, rather than being worried that that's the main event. You know, they're just,
yes.
So I think that's a good analogy to think about because I think often people are worried that if they use a sex toy that that's taking over, but I don't think it is. I think it's just part of the process.
That's a really, really good analogy. I think of it as well as, you know, the nerve endings in our body that are in all these erogenous zones, you know, they're designed to experience pleasure and they love novelty, you know, that's also how neuroplasticity occurs, that sort of sexual neuroplasticity. I think that as a whole area is, yeah, it's awesome. So looking at.
Thought of that. That's a great way of thinking of it, sexual neuroplasticity. I like that.
Yeah, because you're sort of, you're training those nerve endings into, you know, yeah, you're designed for pleasure. And, you know, what do you think of this sensation? How about this one? And actually feeding those nerve endings help them, essentially, you know, keeps it keep they keep coming alive and going, yeah, this was what I was designed to do.
That's great. Well, I can't thank you so much for chatting to us today. And I really encourage everybody listening to please check out Victoria's website and YouTube channel and sign up for the newsletter, because there's lots. I signed up for the newsletter and I get lots of really exciting information out of it. So is there anything else that you'd like to tell the listeners?
I think, again, this might be like a strong note to end on, but I think in this area in particular, sometimes it gets seen as like sex. You know, we have talked about how fun sex is. I think sometimes sex gets seen as sort of like maybe the icing on the cake rather than interwoven into all other areas of health. You know, I think I may want to say this, if anybody's out there feeling, you know, that they're actually like their mental health and their emotional health, especially their relationship health, is really suffering because their sexual function, that's, I think, more common than we talk, we, you know, than the medical institute maybe talks about. I actually see sexual health as deeply ingrained in mental health. And yeah, I think that's why it is really important, not just from sex is important to me, but also, you know, if somebody's feeling like depressed and they're struggling because this area of their life, you know, isn't working, that yeah, you're really not alone in that. I hear from so many men who say they, you know, really were so down and beside themselves because they could not figure out how to get an erection again. And
I agree. I think it's so important. And I also think when people have had a cancer diagnosis, and the research shows this, that, you know, 80% of people, men and women that have had a cancer diagnosis, would love someone to ask them about their sexual function and their sexual relationship, but nobody ever does. And they feel guilty bringing it up themselves to a health professional because they think, oh, I'm cured of cancer. I should just be happy with that. But it is okay to want more. And this does so closely affect our mental health and our relationships in so many other ways, just than sex.
Yes, exactly. I think that's the thing. I think, you know, don't think of it as sort of an aside, you know, especially I have men who say, you know, they're thinking about it all day long. You know, if it's on your brain a lot, it's, you know, it's interwoven into identity and who we are. And I actually think, you know, I think it's like a human right to be able to get that education to know what's
No.
going on.
It's so wonderful to chat to you, and I'm very excited. I know I've got lots of listeners and patients that will be very excited I finally got you on the podcast. So I actually just spoke to someone yesterday who we both know, and he was very excited I was finally going to interview you on the podcast.
Oh,
So
wonderful.
all
I've been looking forward to this for so long. It's a treat to be here. Thank you.
right. Thanks very much, Victoria.
Thank you, Melissa.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. As a thank you for being a part of our podcast community, I have an exclusive subscriber offer for you. If you would like assistance with your sexual health and you'd like to work with me, then please head over to www.melissahadleybarrett.com/programs and use the code TPP5 at the checkout. Here you will find everything you need to know to be on the path to penile perfection. Thank you for listening to today's episode of The Penis Project. If you're enjoying this podcast, I would love it if you could leave a review and subscribe for regular updates. Your support plays a big role in spreading awareness and helping more men to access this information. The more followers we have, the more podcast platforms that recommend our show to others. This might be just the place where your friend, brother, neighbour with lingering questions finally discovers the answers. Stay connected with me on social media and join the Melissa Hadley Barrett email list for news about upcoming podcast episodes, blogs, and lots more. If you have a personal story that you'd like to share, or you're a health professional working in this field, I would love to hear from you. If you'd like to be a guest on the podcast or a listener with specific topics you'd like us to cover, please send me an email at admin@melissahadleybarrett.com. Thanks again for being a part of the Penis Project podcast community. And until next time, take care.